Hey everybody, I'm Luke. Welcome back to The Breakdown, and with us is...
I get to say I'm Kurt.
Yes!
I'm Kurt! Welcome back,
welcome.
Kurt. It's so good to be here, man.
It's good to have you.
Do you just wear that sweatshirt for me? Because every time I come into The Breakdown with you...
It's a comfy sweatshirt.
It looks like
it,
dude.
No, it came out of the dryer today. It was nice. You know, like when you put that fresh, warm...
Oh, come on, man.
First washed sweatshirt, you know. Yep. Like, it's nice.
I love it.
Just feels good.
What's a good sweatshirt, bro?
Thank you. I just didn't want to bring a smelly one.
Yeah, I hear you. So.
All right. So how you been?
I've been good, man. It's thank you for having me back on. I will tell everybody that you ask me nearly every week.
I do.
You do. And I appreciate you having me back on. Hey, dude, we both know we have wrapped up and are just about wrapping up our semester here at School of the Spirit. So
yep, I had my last class last night.
You had your last class. I have one final class coming up for the Powers course. We've also done something a little different. I'm very, very excited. This quarter at King's, we brought a survey of SOS classes to the King's kids at high school.
And that's been awesome. Super cool.
It's been awesome. We've done the Powers in the Gospel, Life and Ministry, and Yielding.
Cool.
And next year we'll do something different, but I'm very excited about that. So it's really cool. Obviously, you know, I'm not going to jump on your show without plugging SOS. So get onto our website.
No. We love it. We love it.
SchoolOfTheSpirit.church. We always get the question, Luke, like, hey, when does your next semester start? And hey, what classes are being offered? And I want to say this too. If you were, you know, wondering, hey, God, what's my purpose? What am I here for? Or you just want to grow in the word or whatever. If you just jump into any class, there's a beautiful part about what the Lord does through His Holy Spirit at School of the Spirit. He just reveals so much. So I would just say, get onto our website, check out some classes, dive in, take a plunge, take a couple classes.
Even if you just take one.
Yeah.
It's helpful. It's so worth it.
It is. It is. And I, you know, it's just really awesome to see. I mean, I think all the way back to just, you know, Pastor Zach getting that word, release the teachers, release the teachers, release the teachers. And now 5 years later, nearly 5 years later, we're able to see from the children, you know, at King's all the way to School of the Spirit, what God is doing, and it's just going to get even better.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, I just feel like every semester, and I've taught my class a couple times.
Yeah.
Every semester, every group of students, it's so unique.
Yeah.
Even though you're going through the same lessons, roughly.
Correct.
It stays about 85% the same.
Yeah.
But that 15% difference makes it.
It does.
You know, because it's not that God's truth changes. It doesn't.
Yeah.
But as we grow in Him, it starts to mean something more to us.
It sure does. You know, and there's a reason why there's four different gospels, because there's four different vantage points, and there's multiple vantage points, really. And, you know, Jesus taught regular lessons, and sometimes there were different points that He was highlighting. So when we come back to a regular lesson, there's something new the Holy Spirit wants to make clear to that specific group of people that are present, or to us.
Yes.
And to us, I should say. So we have a lot of fun.
Do you have a favorite gospel, by any chance?
I'm going to tell you, it's probably a shocker for a lot of people, but I very seldom put favorites on the scriptures because I love them all.
All right.
But I like Mark. I like how succinct Mark is.
That's cool.
I love it. Mark is like, immediately, immediately, immediately.
Well, and do you know what's so interesting is Mark was not one of the apostles.
I know.
He was a worker with Peter.
Yep.
And it's so cool how, you know, God inspired him to write it.
Mm-hmm.
We cover this in my class a little bit, which is kind of cool.
So it's interesting that I mentioned Mark.
Yeah.
I love it. That's great, dude. Yeah, Mark, how about you?
I love John.
Okay.
I like his imagery. I like his letters, too.
Yeah.
He covers a lot of imagery of light versus darkness, love versus fear, which I find transcends like all of time and culture.
True.
But then he grounds it in the person of Jesus.
Yeah, it's so good.
So
it's awesome.
I bond with that. And I love Luke.
Yeah, well, obviously.
As a medical worker, I love him.
I know.
And he was not Jewish. He was Greek.
I love it.
So
good. And he studied everything clearly and wrote to Theophilus. Oh, excellent Theophilus, so he would know.
Yes, he did. So, all right, so let's dive into this week's message, was so good.
Yeah, we both loved it. You know, that's why even before Pastor Zach preached, you're like, Kurt, are you going to join me? I'm like, yes, I'm going to join you. It was so easy. It's good.
So take us in.
Yeah, man. So we're in Malachi. I get excited. I actually love that Pastor Zach said, hey, I know it'd be common this time of year with Christmas time to start going and rehearsing these passages from Matthew or from Luke. I was very excited when Pastor Zach said, we're going back to Malachi, because as he stated, we do have this, you know, understood 400 years of this period of silence from the last prophet of Malachi to the beginning of, you know, the pronouncement of Christ through John the Baptist and all these different things, the angel Gabriel and Matthew and Luke that you pick up on. And I love the chastisement that comes through Malachi, especially because he deals strongly and sternly with the priests. And being that we're a kingdom of priests, it's really good that we hear this and receive this.
Yes.
Okay.
I loved how Pastor Zach explained that right up front. Mm-hmm. And just to make sure people don't miss it, just explain that again.
Yeah.
Because it's easy for us to read a book in the Old Testament, especially, and we hear about the priesthood. We're like, oh yeah, that's Aaron, that's the Levites, but I'm not Aaron and I'm not a Levite. So how does that apply to me?
Yeah, well, Peter writes about that in his letter, 1 Peter 2:9. He says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, you know, brought out of the darkness that you may proclaim the wonderful light that you're in. And we are that royal priesthood. And you can actually go all the way back to before things started with Aaron and Moses. God actually brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. He brought them to the base of the mountain. Yes, he appeared in thunderings and lightnings and all that loud and booming trumpets. But he actually did that to instill in them a reverence for him and who he was, not a holiness and a reverence for Pharaoh and all the gods of Egypt. But God desired a priest. He actually says, tell the people, sanctify themselves 3 days and come and meet me at the foot of the mountain, at the base of the mountain. God always desired a kingdom of priests. But what did they say? We want a mediator.
You spoke for us.
Moses, you go talk to God.
Yeah.
That's way too scary. Now God takes the concept of like, okay, you only want one man? Boom, I'm going to give you one man. It's going to be Christ. So you see that fulfilled in the new covenant. But the kingdom of priesthood is actually something that God always desired. And so we come now to what Christ gave us, the one man. Hebrews talks about this, the one man, Christ, being a far better mediator of this new covenant with better promises, brought us into a place where we are now seated with Christ in heavenly places and therefore a kingdom of priesthood right here on the earth.
Amen. Amen.
So therefore, I said a lot in that statement.
No,
but when I read Malachi or when I read the authors of Isaiah, Jeremiah, dealing with the priest and the and all these different things, what I need to realize is like, whoa, I need to take inventory on this situation and make sure that I'm paying attention. It's not just to the pastor that stands up there in the pulpit.
Right.
Like, we are a kingdom of priests, so this applies to me.
And as you're speaking, I just keep hearing inside in my spirit is we need to own our identity.
There you go.
And you wonder how the story of the Israelites in the wilderness would have been different had they owned the calling that the Lord was placing on them.
Yeah.
So, and it goes the same for us. We, when we receive our identity and then we own it and walk it out, then we do walk in the blessing of the Lord and we walk in the ministry that he's placed on us.
Absolutely.
Like there's a freedom in walking the way you were created to walk. And it's when we don't do that, that we open ourselves up to being deceived by the enemy.
Yeah.
And we stunt our own growth in that sense because we're not doing what we were called to create it to do.
It's so true, because even before we got on the mic, you talked about how we were created for dependence.
Dependency. Yeah.
Not independence.
No.
You know, we weren't created to be codependent in
right.
a sense. We were created to be dependent upon Christ
right.
and who he is and what he brought for us on the Father.
Right. And you know, and speaking of that identity piece, like culture says that you can determine your own identity.
Right. Right.
That your identity is based in how you feel, or like you can kind of pick it out like a costume or like an outfit in the store.
Yeah.
But identity is something that has to be imparted to you.
Mm-hmm.
And you see that from the beginning. Like, it was God who imparted identity to Adam and Eve. He created them for each other.
Yeah.
And then, and that's part of the father role of God, is you need, the father imparts identity to the child.
Amen.
And so that's what God is doing for us. And so, you know, even before we go any further, I just feel that we should, as you're listening, allow God to remind you of who you are in him. You are seated in heavenly places, as Barbara shared on Sunday.
Yeah.
You are a royal priesthood.
Yeah.
Okay? And so everything that you receive from God's word, you should read it as that.
Yeah.
But so often we get stuck, I think, because we have lived lives of sin and we've, you know, our sinful nature has been put to death and we are still putting it to death every day. You have to understand who you are and don't listen to what the enemy says.
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of times we look to the right or the left and you're hearing what the enemy's saying, but you're forgetting, though, God has called you. He's sanctified you. He has sanctified you for the priesthood. He has said, he declares that you are royal. You are not a beggar.
Yeah.
You're not a pauper. You're not an orphan.
Yeah.
So if you remind yourself of that every day, it's going to change how you see your situations mm-hmm. and even how you receive the truth of God.
It's truth. I mean, everything you're saying right here is actually the critical component of renewing the mind. Because when Paul is writing in Romans 12, 1 and 2, specifically Romans 2, not being conformed to the world, just by existing in the world, we'll conform to its precepts and principles. Right. So we have to come to the place where we read the scripture, we understand the truth that God's communicated about us through his son, Jesus, now housing the Holy Spirit. We're sons and daughters, we're heirs of the Most High God, we're this priesthood. We have to renew our mind to that truth. God has already declared it over us. He's already said it about us. We then, mm-hmm. we have to own that identity and truly adopt it and say, no, this is who I am.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So moving on, Malachi, he charges the priests. Mm-hmm. He declares a way that they've gone wrong.
Yeah.
And he brings up this situation where they were not acting in accordance with God's precepts. They're calling evil good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting because as I was sitting there on Sunday, I was thinking, wow, I was definitely receiving, a lot of times I sit in the service and I'm either grunting, or I'm just sitting quietly. And typically what's happening is there is a lot of correction that I'm receiving on a Sunday morning about areas or highlights from mm-hmm. the Lord, areas that I need to look at. And you know, sometimes like Pastor Zach started, I was so glad he said this. I believe he started his message by saying, just because somebody becomes a victim in some situation doesn't mean that they are inherently acting good. And we sometimes make this association that because somebody has gone through some type of suffering or some turmoil, that there's goodness in them.
Right.
We have to understand, like, and I think that this, as part of this priesthood here, and that may sound like a bold statement what I'm saying, but as part of the priesthood here, especially when it comes to counseling a brother or counseling a sister, you know, having the guts, like what I was looking at on Sunday was actually having the guts to call out to one another mm-hmm. those areas of our lives that's like, no, that's actually not good. Yes, the Lord accepts you for who you are and where you are, mm-hmm. but that's actually not good. In fact, that's killing you. That is destroying you, what you're tolerating there. And people misunderstand when Jesus talks about not judging. And the truth is, when Jesus says, listen, you've got a log in your own eye and your brother's got a speck, read it all the way. He says, first, remove the log from your own eye. Mm-hmm. So what? So you can see clearly.
Right.
So you can see the speck in your brother's eye. Otherwise, you're going to hit everybody with the log in your eye.
Right.
So the scripture later on validates that when Paul says, hey, if you see a brother overtaken in a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. So this concept of like looking at this concept of saying, oh, these priests are calling evil good, you know, it's because they're looking, say, hey, you know, everybody's acceptable in the sight of the Lord. Come, you're totally acceptable. It's okay. Listen, God accepts you and brings you to that place of like awareness.
Right. Right. And I think, you know, if you have gone through the process of the Lord showing you the specks and removing it, you know how gentle he is. You know how firm he is too.
Correct.
But you, when you experience the freedom of the Lord, it actually motivates you to bring that freedom to others.
Yeah.
And when you've truly had that heart transformation by the Lord, you're not going to do it in a way that puts people down. I think that that's where we go astray, is people don't know how to deliver the truth in love. And so rather than try, it's, well, I don't want them to feel judged. And that, I think, is like, if people are familiar with the seeker sensitive movement, I think that's where things went wrong.
Yeah.
Where it's like, oh, we just want Sunday morning to be non-offensive.
Yeah.
Just where people can experience the love of God. And it's like, okay, yeah, but it's the love of God that transforms
Correct.
Me. So part of me experiencing the love of God is the conviction.
True.
And part of me sharing God's love is sharing his truth and calling people out and showing, hey, this is how you're going wrong. And if you come into the authority of Christ, your life's going to be better, because he's going to remove that just like he did for me.
This is so good. Because, you know, you read Ephesians 4 and how Christ ascended and then gave these gifts, the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. Those gifts are there for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry till we all come to the unity of the faith. And part of what Paul is communicating there is that we're not like children who are tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, but speaking the truth in love, we may grow up and mature to all things. So I think about, as I was sitting there on Sunday, and then again on Monday, Pastor Zach and Ashley brought us through some exercises as a staff on Monday that caused us to be very self-reflective and take some inventory. And I was thinking about, wow, in the 5 years I've been at this church, praise God, every single one of our elders and pastors have corrected me. And it was really hard, but it was really, really good. And I was thinking about this, you know, part of the chastisement to these priests that is given in Malachi chapter 2 is that, you know, you're saying everything is good and everyone's good in the sight of the Lord and God delights in them. Well, it's like, oh my goodness, I know that. And I was hearing Pastor Zach preach this on Sunday and I'm like, wow, I'm so glad that elders and other people, not just elders and pastors, but other people were able to listen to me and across the table say, listen, I hear you, but you're offended, or hey, you're still striving, or you need to surrender that to the Lord. It was good people who were listening to the Holy Spirit, and I didn't like what they had to say at the time, but it was so good for them to say, wait a minute, this part of Kurt's life is not pleasing to the Father. The Father isn't delighting in that part, and should I sit by and not tell him and just let him go? Like, just let him go off with these things? No. God placed him here. I should lovingly bring some correction.
Amen. Amen. And you know, like the Bible, I forget where it says it, but it's like discipline at the time. It's not comfortable.
Yeah.
Right?
It's in Hebrews.
It's
12.
In Hebrews. Yeah. Oh, kingdom of priests. So yes, we're going to become uncomfortable and we will make people uncomfortable, but that's kind of the point. There are things in us that have to go.
Yes.
And for the Lord to have his way, there's going to be some discomfort. If there's a tumor inside of you, that has to be removed.
Yeah.
That process is not going to be comfortable, but you're going to be really thankful that it's gone when it's gone. And you're like, oh, wow, I didn't realize how sick I was. And now I know how healthy I am.
Yeah.
Thank you, God, for doing that to me.
Yeah.
Thank you for working that out of us. And so that's part of our calling when we go out to minister to people is, yes, we're giving them the love of Jesus, but the love of Jesus is more than just, you know, a hug or a, you know, God wants you as you are, which is true. He takes you as you are, but his love transforms and you become more than you ever thought you could be.
Absolutely.
And that's where again, going back to identity, the world says, you are what you are today. And like, that's okay. You can stay that way. But the identity that the love of God brings to us is, I've called you to more.
Yeah.
You are more than you ever thought you ever could be. It's more than you ever could think or imagine. Like the stuff I have for you to do, the stuff I have for you to be, it's a calling to more.
Yeah.
And I think when we grasp that, it makes it easier for us to go out and really share God's truth and not being turned off by how people react. Because again, remember, when you tell people spiritual things, when you're bringing spiritual truth, expect a spiritual reaction.
Yeah.
And sometimes they react out of the darkness that they're in, but know that the light and the truth of God, it does not return void.
Yeah. It's really interesting you're bringing this up here, because to me, there's no greater example. I've been having some dialogues recently with, a lot of this dialogue has been coming up about the LGBTQ plus community and how we're interacting and what we're doing and where the church has historically landed and how do we do better. And I think, okay, you know, we are tending to fall into one ditch or the other. And I think there's no greater example to me, because I did seek the Lord. I think I've shared this on our show before. I just called it our show, like the old days. I think I shared this before. When I was a young youth pastor, I saw these things coming. And I sought the Lord and I said, okay, Lord, what are we going to do about this? And the Lord brought me to John chapter 4 with the woman at the well.
Yeah.
And to me, there's no greater example of somebody who was taught, you know, because we forget, you got to read the Old Testament, you forget that Samaria was a place of worship. Like, that's what she's saying to Jesus. Hey, you Jews say that you're supposed to worship over there, but we hear you're supposed to worship over here. And so Jesus says, it's not about the where,
right.
It's about the who. Mm. But I'll tell you more, go and get your husband. You know, she says, I don't have a husband. He's like, right. No, obviously you don't. You've had five, and the one you're with now is not your husband. And yet somewhere in this gentle dialogue, somewhere in this in-your-face dialogue, this woman is convicted and overjoyed. Like, mm-hmm. she literally runs to the town and says to the men, come see the man who told me everything I ever did. Yeah. Like, there's something about right. this interaction
right.
that she saw both compassion, conviction, and love in the Creator's eyes that she wanted to share that. And mm-hmm. I think part of it is, you're right. And I believe part of the encouragement from Pastor Zach on Sunday was, let's not give half of the gospel
Amen.
Message.
Amen.
Love,
yeah.
love is not void of correction. Mm-hmm. Love is not void of acknowledgement of sin. You don't see Jesus doing that. He says things like, go and sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. You appreciate mm-hmm. being delivered?
Right.
Go and sin no more, lest right. a worse thing come upon you. I think we have to understand, you know?
Amen.
How important it is.
Yeah.
I'm not saying, and look, it's precarious, bro. Mm-hmm. It's challenging. You got to be led by the Spirit in mm-hmm. everything that we do. We can't just walk out there and be like, this is the problem. This is the problem.
No. And that's the thing. It's when this is where it comes back to removing the speck. When you understand what God has done in you,
mm-hmm.
you're going to serve out of that place of humility and
yeah.
surrender and hope and freedom. It's not me coming down on you. It's me saying, hey, this is what Jesus did for me.
Yes.
You don't have to live that way.
Yes.
And that's in the story of the woman at the well, where she says, come meet this man who told me everything that I ever did.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he told her things that she probably wanted to keep hidden, but
yeah.
she's like, that's the freedom, is like, he knows what all the wrong things.
Yep.
And it kind of carries this sense of, she knew that those things were wrong.
Yeah.
And she's like, he's validating that this is wrong, and he's calling me to more. I'm not being rejected.
Yeah.
But I don't want to do these things anymore. That's what I get from that whole sense.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's the wonderful part, is that we may be, Luke, sometimes we're maybe sugarcoating, or we're dancing around issues. I've been so guilty of that in my life. And rather than doing that, I think the importance is to be Spirit-led.
Yeah.
And like you said, if we live in a constant state of circumspect, like Paul says, I live my life circumspectly, or we can say introspectively,
right.
and we allow the Lord, search my heart, God, know me, try my test all my ways, see if there's any wicked way, and lead me in the way everlasting. If we're living in such a way, then we can trust the Lord when he puts us in front of somebody
right.
or directs us to somebody, that we can have a godly dialogue, you know?
Amen. Amen.
And not be afraid mm-hmm. of whatever it is. And always remember, you know, if we're having the right posture, again, all these things, they don't mean anything if you're going to come at somebody, you know, with a blazing fire, mm. you know?
Yep.
It's got to be the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
But when you do, Jesus already said, hey, if they reject you, they're not rejecting you. They're rejecting me.
Right.
And so we shouldn't be afraid and be dancing around things. We should speak the truth in love, that we may grow up to all things.
Right, right. And then that next statement, where is the God of justice?
Oh, I know.
And Pastor Zach brought out the truth that injustice is the fruit of the tree that comes from when we call evil good.
Mm.
And that, to me, that carries that's a lot of weight for us as believers, where we are to speak the truth more boldly.
Yeah.
Because when we don't, then injustice prevails.
That's good.
So if you're looking at the world and you're saying, oh, the world's so terrible, this is so bad, Jesus is coming back real quick, know that it is your job to go out and speak the truth.
Mm. I'm going to use something that may be a little bit scary for some people, but I'm just going to jump out here and say it. And it has nothing to do with politics, and actually everything to do with the reality. So, for example, under the current administration, we have brought in a mm-hmm. lot of migrants who have
yes.
come. And, you know, for those of us who have received and cared for mm-hmm. brothers and sisters and taken care of them, maybe we don't know the political
right.
reasons behind these things,
right.
but we love our neighbor and we love the foreigners, what the
right.
scripture teaches us. However, on a governmental level,
correct.
Even just with a potential new administration moving in January, you're actually seeing states and local governments respond and already saying, hey, listen, we're going to start this mass exodus right now because we realize that this is actually bankrupting our state.
It's not sustainable.
Yeah, it's not sustainable. And I think that those are hard decisions. And I think what we have to be honest with ourselves is just cut it right down the middle. Like, we don't need to make it about polity. We don't need to make it about any of that. It actually comes down to, yes, we have a duty and a responsibility to care for the foreigner among us. Right. We also have a responsibility to govern our nation and make it what God desired it to be. And there's a proper way to do things. And, you know, what I really wanted to say is this. When the righteous are in power, the people rejoice. And so forget about this new administration being righteous or not. That's not what I'm trying to say. But what you see is just the thought of a new administration moving in has states and local governments responding to what they knew was right all along, but didn't have the support to do. So take that. Just hear me for a second. Let's not get offended. Take that and let's move into the scripture. Let's move into being a follower of Christ. You may not be accepted everywhere, but somebody somewhere is waiting for you to stand up and speak.
Exactly.
Justice is waiting on you being bold enough to communicate the truth of God's word.
Right. But again, the boldness comes when you understand and you accept and act in faith from your identity.
Yeah.
When you understand, oh, I am a royal priesthood.
Yeah.
I am seated in heavenly places. And the Spirit of God, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, lives inside of me.
Yeah.
You will say the hard things.
Yeah.
You will see the hard things and you will see atmospheres changed and you will see people turn to Christ because of it.
Exactly.
Now you're gonna create waves.
You are.
But that's part of the process.
Yeah. And I think about everything, every revolution or those of us who are sitting around waiting for revival, you know? It's a wave. It's a shock wave. Things get turned upside down.
Amen. And, you know, we were singing, I think it was Sunday, we were singing that song, Pour Your Spirit Out.
Yeah.
And the thought came to me, okay, we're saying pour your spirit out, but where does the Spirit of God reside? It resides in me.
Amen.
So for that to happen, I need to be poured out.
Yeah, come on.
Okay, so when you're praying that, recognize that God has given you the substance. Pour it out.
Yeah.
He has given you himself.
Amen. Amen. That's really good. Yeah, we're not going to be those people that don't long for the fire. As Pastor Zach was saying on Sunday about, I think it was an old teacher or whatever he was under. But I am like, I was sitting there, I had just said it earlier. I was like, God, I welcome your fire. I know there's areas of my life that need to be corrected.
Amen.
And I want them purged now.
Now.
You know, and that's what I was thinking as I was experiencing, like sitting through both Sunday and Monday. Wow, like I'm at this place in my life because God used people who were willing to correct me, to bring some correct. I was so desperate for correction and my life is better because of it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Not just somebody that was going to be willing to pat me on the back and say, hey, listen, you're good. You're good.
Amen.
No.
Amen. So let's talk about the fire and the soap, especially the soap.
Oh, I know, right?
That was new. I hadn't really heard teaching on the soap.
I know. I think the fire we get, I think the idea of soap, the only thing I'm thinking is actually when Jesus says to that church, like, anoint your eyes, you need eye salve, like you need your eyes to be cleansed. And so that idea of the washing and even like what Pastor Zach said, doing his research and finding out that my mind went instantly to the lye and how painful and like strong of a detergent that can be. But what he was talking about was even far greater than that, which can be an irritant, you know, to the skin if it gets on the skin. But come on, man, that walking and that grinding down, that saturating of like getting it into every area so that the stain is cleaned out. I mean, when you think about what Jesus actually did, this is the beauty, is that this is what's been done for us. He's, though your sins are scarlet, I'll make them white as snow. And so you literally have that robe that is bloodstained.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You have this, you can't get rid of these stains, you know? Everywhere I go, there are these stains. But there is a process and a soap that he has that is far outweighing even the sin that we have committed. And he can get those stains out. He can do it. However, Luke, however, we have to submit to the process.
Right.
And the one distinctive I would say to an area where we've seen growth in our lives, we can talk about being on a team. We can talk about working out at the gym. We can talk about eating healthier. What did it require? Submitting to the process.
It did.
You can't just be like, hey, I want to be better, be healthier. Like, I have to submit to the process.
Amen.
And some trainer out there knows better
right.
than me.
Right. Well, and that's the thing where I think it's so beautiful that Pastor Zach brought in the truth of the oil. So like when you mix the oil with the soap, it becomes a bleach.
Yeah.
And that's the difference between me working stuff out in my own flesh.
Come on.
Because you could do self-help.
Yep.
There's a lot of really good self-help advice out there.
Yep.
Right? And I've listened to some secular ones where I'm like, oh, wow, they're really hitting on like some truths of God. Like God's word says this, but they stop short of the person, Jesus.
Yeah.
And that's where the oil comes in.
Yeah.
Is God doesn't expect you to, you can't clean yourself.
Mm-mm.
And you can't just go into this process. Right? Because then you're just going to live under shame, condemnation, all that stuff.
Yeah.
It's he accepts you as his child
mm-hmm.
and he puts his spirit inside of you. And yeah. then it's the Holy Spirit working these out in you, the fruit of the spirit.
Yeah.
Now it's painful and it's a process, but he's with you in the process and he's the one who's doing it.
Yeah.
That is the huge difference.
It really is, because otherwise, I really like that you bring that up. Otherwise, we're subjecting ourselves to something that we're still in control of at the right. end of the day.
And it's just behavior modification.
It is. But to bring it back down to like our sin wasn't just, you know, blood-stained crimson red.
Right.
Our sin caused a hardness in our heart
mm-hmm.
that God had to actually open us up from the inside, which is what he does when we believe on the Lord Jesus. When we surrender our life to Jesus, he begins that process.
Amen. Amen. And that's where we go back to the whole independence versus dependence thing is
mm-hmm.
we were created to be dependent on God. Adam and Eve were dependent on God.
Yeah.
And he set the boundaries. It was when they rejected the boundaries and acted in their own independence.
Yeah.
That's when things went wrong.
I know.
And we carry that. And that's where, you know, going back to like the original sin, like our, and like we're born in iniquity
mm-hmm.
because we have that rebellious independent streak.
Yeah.
And it's only by the Spirit of God that can be broken.
Yeah.
That can be walked out of us, burned out of us, and we have to be sensitive to that. You know, Paul says walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the desires of the flesh.
That's exactly right.
All right. Well, it's been awesome having you. Would you pray for us?
Yeah, dude, thank you so much for having me. Well, I mean, what a message, you know? Like what an opportunity to get together and chat about. So I know I there's so much to cover. I don't know if we covered everything you wanted to, but
you got to come back.
We got to come back. I will definitely be back. So Father, we thank you for this time. I thank you for Luke just inviting me on the show again and coming back. And Lord, I know that it can be challenging to hear some of these things. And even we've had to grow in boldness to say them. But we do ask that by the power of your Spirit, that you would allow them to fall on our ears. We would have ears to hear, eyes to see, hearts to understand
Amen.
And believe. And to follow your word, you know, to know that there is a responsibility that we have to submit to this process. And Lord, I pray for our hearts that they would just be open to receive what you have, even those hard things. Lord, let us never be afraid of the refiner's fire. Let us never be afraid of your fire because, Lord, it purifies, but it also protects. And I want to submit myself to the purification process because I want you to find in me. I remember what Pastor Zach was saying on Sunday, Lord, if all I am is dross, Lord, purify me.
Amen.
Purify me so that what remains is actually of you. So we submit ourselves to this process, though it be painful. And we do ask that we would be patient with one another, considering ourselves, lest we also be tempted, being gracious with one another, esteeming one another better than ourselves, looking out for the needs of others. It's by these things, by the way we love one another, that the entire world will know that we're your disciples. So we pray for ourselves and for one another as we walk out this time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen.
Thanks, Luke.
I'm Luke.
I'm Kurt.
That's The Breakdown. We'll catch you next week.
Awesome.